Hello and welcome to another episode of Bikini in the Brain. I'm here with Ashley Kaltwasser. How are you doing,
That's
Ashley?
What they call me around here.
You're looking quite panda-y today.
Yeah. This is my sweatshirt that I got from Japan. As Adam knows, he has a panda t-shirt. I have a sweatshirt. I thought it was super cute.
I have a panda t-shirt and I have a panda sweatshirt. Do you want to know something crazy about that? I don't know if you know if I ever told you about the panda sweatshirt that I have.
Did you lose it?
No. Okay, so I bought the panda shirt and then I was holding the panda sweatshirt and I was ringing up for both of them. The guy didn't speak English. So he charges me in yen and I bought someone else a shirt too. I bought someone else a shirt. And so it was an expensive store. So he just charged me and I paid. I was still holding the sweatshirt. I thought he knew I had the sweatshirt, but he didn't know I had the sweatshirt. I don't know how he didn't know. It was right in my hands and I had all three items. Like, I was like, here, I want these. And then he even bagged it. He even bagged the items. And I was like, all right, whatever. And then like, I was wearing the sweater and I hashtagged their hashtag. And then the guy like contacted me. Like,
oh yeah.
He contacted me. He's like, hey, you didn't pay for that sweater. And I'm like, dude, I'm on a plane. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm like, do you have PayPal or anything? He's like, no, we don't have that. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, dude. I can't. Like, I would love to get you.
Isn't that crazy? Wait a minute. How does he even know? Like, how would he?
Well, I took a picture with you. And then Nadim took the picture. And then it was the one of us in Japan. And I posted it. And I hashtagged them. And I was wearing the sweater. And he's like, you didn't pay for that sweater.
But wait, who knows, who's to say that you didn't get that a long time ago or somebody else gave it to you? All I remember is you telling me, like, them saying, do you mind, like, tagging us in or something? I don't know. Or doing free promo? I don't know.
It was kind of weird. I was like, I tried getting money, but they didn't have PayPal. But anyway.
Jeez. Well,
hey, good for him. I didn't mean to steal. So that was the last time I stole.
I think he was misinformed because it just doesn't make sense. And you could have got that from anywhere. I don't know. That's weird. But
yeah, it's crazy, right? Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's my thug life stealing history, guys. So what do we got on the docket for today?
Docket? I've never heard that word before.
I don't know what it means. I think it means like what's on. Let's look it up. Docket. I think it means I think it's like a legal term, like who's up. But let's see.
Wow. Well, you know what? I'm learning
so much today,
every day from you.
See,
the Bikini and the Brain podcast is very educational in many different ways.
Okay. Hopefully, I use this right. Yeah. Oh, it's a legal thing. Okay. A calendar of list or cases for trial. Or people having cases pending, a document or label listing the contents of a package or delivery. There you go, yeah. Okay. I think I used the right concept, besides we're not
what
legal.
What a vast vocabulary you have. Have you been hanging out with a lawyer or something lately?
Yeah, that's right.
Picking up their lingo?
They're like, all the audience is like, man, he's stealing, he knows legal terms. Like, he's probably in jail a lot. Oh, that's funny. But what is on our agenda?
On the agenda. So, you know, I thought, hey, it would probably be a pretty good idea to give a little information and tips, anything we can do to help for the people out there that feel like, you know what, when this is all over, I want to get back on track. But they don't know where to begin because it's kind of like, you know, as we're transitioning into the phase of things are starting to open and perhaps gyms are starting to get opened and more back to the normal life. People might have a hard time adjusting to that. And perhaps from being home, they might have let themselves go a little bit because they have other worries and concerns or because they just couldn't get the good workouts in. But whatever the case may be, I thought it'd be a great idea to give a little plan of action to get back on track.
Yeah.
With your health and fitness and diet, all that good stuff.
Well, I'm that's what I thought you were going to keep going. That's funny. I think that's a really good idea because a lot of people have gotten off track. And it sucks because it's But you know, there's nothing you can do about it if you got off track besides just get started right away. I think how you get started is the biggest, most important factor of how you can keep sustainable results and to get the most amount of results you can. I think culturally, as like a society, we all grow up watching like infomercials and quick fixes and hey, 4-week transformation challenges and whatnot and things like that. And those are all really the reality is those things are all designed just for to sell a product and to make money for whoever's doing it. The long-term result of something that's that extreme is pretty much like non-existent. Like people don't maintain those types of results. I mean, it's been proven like over and over and over again. One of the things I like to reference is like the Biggest Loser study. I use that one a lot because it's, as our society, we kind of look at dieting that way. We look at it as, okay, hey, I gained some weight and now I need to crash diet. I need to eat no carbs and do a ton of cardio. And that's how I'm just going to do that for like a month and then I'll be fine. And then that's how they look at it. And then they go back and you don't learn anything. So if you look at the Biggest Loser study and how they approached dieting, you know, they obviously it was very, very extreme. It was the calories that those Biggest Loser people were on. They weren't like, it wasn't crazy, crazy bad. It was like, you know, 1,000, 1,200 to 1,200 calories, which isn't like, you hear some bikini athletes doing less calories than that. But the way that they did it with so much cardio and how much they weighed is the biggest factor. Because they're weighing, you know, it's a big difference of someone eating 1,200 calories at 300 pounds and someone eating 1,200 calories at 110 pounds. It's a totally different world. So they tested metabolisms of these people before they did the study and then after they did the study. And with that, the metabolism, like even 6 years later, didn't come back all the way. And on top of that, almost everyone gained all their weight back. So it was, it just shows that whole crash thing doesn't work. So I think, you know, talking about a better approach to start this and to do it the right way, not just to maintain the results, but to actually get results for a longer period of time before that adaption window closes is really important. So what's your take on that, Ash? You've never done any really crash stuff.
No, I mean, there's been points where, I mean, I think back when, you know, I took that 1 year off, that was hard to get back. And, you know, the approach that we took where we kind of like eased into it, right? Like initially, I think we aimed for like a 20-week prep or something when I first decided to train with you and, you know, but, you know, every situation is different, but I do agree. Like, I know it's going to be so tempting to go like so hardcore when we can, but you know, is that sustainable to go that hard, that fast? And you don't want to be like miserable. You know, I think your mental fatigue can kick in a lot sooner than your physical fatigue, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, motivation is super important. And of course, we're going to be so motivated in the beginning, right? Everyone's just dying just to get to a gym and to go ham. But, you know, going too fast too soon can cause that, like, you know, after a few days, you're going to be like, all right, well, this is getting a little much. Then you're going back to, like, your old ways. So I think, like, a gradual approach is great. But, you know, you can start that now, wherever you may be. Like, if you're indoors or whatever and you're thinking, okay, I can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel here and you're paying attention to what's going on and maybe you know when things are going to be opened already. I'm not sure. Every state has a different situation. Who knows? But, you know, you can start to kind of plan for that and maybe even take this time to, like, make that plan. Write it down. Write down some goals you have right now so you can apply them. But, you know, even getting in that physical activity now or doing what you can do right now until the gyms do open and things do start to go back to normal.
I think that's a good idea, especially like the writing down a plan. That's a really cool, you know? I think that's a great idea, especially like plan your goal, maybe go have a certain goal that you want to shoot for the month of when day one, when it opens to the end of the month. And then have a plan of attack for that. I think that's really good. Now, one of the things I think is what we need to talk about too that people overlook is how hard it is to actually get back in the gym. That's I think a lot of our listeners won't go through it, but I went through it once myself, and I only left the gym one time, and I left it for, it was because of a shoulder injury from hockey. And then I had to take like 2 months off. And then when I came back, I was like, I never missed a day of working out for like years and years and years. I think it was from like 13 to 21 or 22, something like that. I forget, like literally not a single day. And I was totally obsessed with it. So if anyone that wasn't going to happen to, it was going to be a guy like me, where that wouldn't happen to, where I tried getting back into the gym and I just didn't have the motivation. So when I went, so 2 months was off, and then it took me a total of about 5 months to actually like get back in the gym. And then when I didn't need 5 months, I only needed two. And then when I actually like got back in, I like didn't want to really be there. I was kind of like going through the motions, and it took me like forcing myself to go to the gym for like a month, where I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And then towards the end of the month, I was like getting in the flow of things again. But that first like few weeks, I was really like forcing myself to go and hoping that it would like click. Did that happen to you at all? Because I mean, you took a little bit of time off.
Yeah. So yeah, I totally can relate. And it's kind of like you have like a routine, right? So being indoors and having this routine disrupted, you kind of start to adapt a new one, right? And for some people, maybe that doesn't really consist of, you know, eating healthy or exercising as you normally would. I think some people, there's one side where they're maybe more like me that's like, yeah, I'm going to do all I can and continue to prep while I'm indoors, and I'm going to try to like improve. And then there's the other crowd that's more, that's like has a different mindset, maybe that that's the least of their priorities right now. They might be going through a hardship. Maybe they have like kids now at home that they have to tend to, and they're just too stressed out and too worried and, you know, pushing maybe their self-care and fitness and health to the side a little bit. So maybe those people kind of lost that drive for the gym because of all these extra things going on in their lives. So then maybe they have developed that routine, like, okay, I'm going to sleep in till 11, I'll wake up, help the kids out and do this and stay in my pajamas all day. And I'm not dissing anybody for that. I understand everyone's situation is different. I mean, I'm lucky that I, you know, I don't have kids to look after or even pets. I'm kind of on my own time, and I don't really have any stressors that are affecting me directly other than the fact that I can't really go anywhere. But you know, everyone is different, and I'll never say that, like, I will never shame anybody for, you know, taking this time to kind of just take a step back and realize what's really important in life. I would never do that. But you know, I understand things happen. So you have that new routine of doing things, and now it's kind of like you have to switch over to this other one. But it's kind of like once you do get in the swing of things and the hang of it, it's kind of like you look forward to it. I kind of see this when I transition from off season to in season and I have to up my cardio to more intense cardio. You know, it's like the first week I kind of dread it, like, I gotta do cardio. Ugh. But it's like after a few weeks, honestly, I start to love it. I'm like, yeah, I want to do cardio. Yeah, let's do it. Like, it's just like a mindset thing. It's kind of just switching that light switch to like, okay, this is what I got to do now.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So for you, it's just about just getting through the first couple weeks too, then, type of thing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Being in that routine. Okay, cool. So I think a lot of you who are out there are going to go through that. So I guess it was similar for both Ashley and I, you know, it just took a few weeks to like, kind of, I don't know, for me, it was, I wasn't really forcing. I knew I had to do it, but it was more of like, I had to do it. It wasn't like I wanted to do it. Now it's like, if I don't work out now, I'm like, dude, I feel soft and fat. Like, it's weird. It's like, I just missed the gym. I just feel like I just, you know, I can miss a day or two, but if it goes to like, if it's like 3 days, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll lose it. Yeah.
So. You know what's funny? I don't feel like that. I don't feel like, oh, I got softer. Oh, I'm like losing my gains. I feel like more like when I, like, let's take, for example, like a day that I don't work out till later or whatever. I get this sense of like, you got to do something. You're pushing it off. You're procrastinating. Like, it's that like kind of almost, I want to say a guilt almost like, I got to do this. I'm procrastinating. I hate the feeling of procrastinating. Yeah. So it kind of like weighs heavy on me. So like the longer I wait to go to the gym, even take that few days off, it's like, Ashley, you know what? You're wasting days here. Other people getting ahead. Come on. So that's like my take on it.
So it's like a guilt thing. I guess I feel the same way. I feel like guilt, like a little bit of guilt. It's like a shame almost. It's so,
yeah,
it's so
like bad. I always try to be as productive as possible. So if, yeah, like, let's say I do miss a day or two at the gym and I could have went, it's like, oh, Ashley, you wasted some days.
That's probably not a good thing that we both do that, but oh well. It is what it is.
Oh well. You know, we're a little extreme, you know?
We're flawed humans. Yeah, we're flawed humans too. There's gonna be some mental health specialists that are listening. You guys, you shouldn't be promoting that.
Well, you know something. Everyone has their thing, right?
Yeah.
Everyone has their thing. And I think, like, you and I both, what really makes us different is, like, this is our lives. We're not afraid to admit, like, yeah, this is our lives, but we love it. Like, we wouldn't have it any other way. I don't, you know, like I mentioned a few other podcasts before, some people will try to put you down for saying, like, don't you do anything else? Like, don't you have, like, a life? And don't you want to, like, go out with your friends and on Saturday night have drinks? Like, wow, that must really suck. Sucks to be you. And it's like, no, my life is awesome. What are you talking about? Like, yeah, people try to kind of like attack people for trying to excel in whatever it is they do or to be super focused and driven. That's like their thing. It's like, I can't accomplish this. So if you are out there doing all you can do to accomplish this, I can try to put you down to like make myself feel better. I hate that.
Yeah. I don't know what that is about that. You know, we're going to do an episode on that. That'll be the one. We'll do an episode on that. Fit shaming type of thing? We're going to do one of those. Maybe the next one we do. That'd be good. That's you get a lot of that. You're probably one of the best at dealing with it too. So we'll go into that. So back into like actual getting back into the gym. So how do you attack it? All right. So one of the things is, for sure, everyone's going to want to go ham. You know, every bench press is going to be taken the Monday the gym opens by the guys. And every booty exercise is going to be taken on Monday by the girls. When that gym opens, there's going to be everything else will be available besides cardio. An arm machine won't get used on Monday when the gym opens. So here's the thing. Like, when you take time off, it's kind of like a forced deload, right? So a deload is essentially you take some time off and you change your adapted settings to some degree. So if you're doing a progressive workout for years and years, whatever, or for months and months, and now you're up to whatever, a 200 pound squat, a 200 pound hip thrust, everything's crazy weight, you've been doing it 3 times a week. Well, your body, you know, it'll start to adapt to that volume and frequency in that load, and you'll start, you know, getting really used to recovering and work from those hard workouts. Now, when you take time off, you kind of take a few steps back on your recovery abilities. You take a few steps back on your settings, basically. We call it like your body's settings. So your body has this setting where it's like, okay, I'm used to 3 times a week. I'm used to killing my cardio. I'm used to all this. I can recover fast from it, but it's not. So for me to do that again, or for me to do that right now, it's not a great stimulus. But if you take a deload, you're kind of resetting, hitting the reset button when you do a deload. And so this is kind of a deload for a lot of people. You're not hitting a lot of, for some people, they're not doing anything because some people are just so like caught up in it. And I get it. It's a hard thing to deal with and they're just not doing anything. And then some people are still hitting it pretty decently at the house. So two different approaches for those two different people. But if you're one of the people who really hasn't done much, or, you know, be honest with yourself, your workouts at home, you're kind of just going through the motions. You're not really giving yourself real much of a challenge. Well, that's kind of a deload. So when you go back into the gym, if you try to go right back into where you were doing, where you're doing 3 times a week, glutes really hard and heavy, and you're doing, you know, crazy intensity on cardio, and you're missing a window of opportunity that you can get better results by just doing once a week or by doing twice a week glutes, depending on where your settings are, instead of jumping right into that full progressive 3 times a week type of thing or high volume type of thing, whatever it is, it's either volume or frequency. So I say that everyone who's taken a lot of time off of the gym and who hasn't worked out should start off with like a full body circuit for the most part. I would have most people doing there's this thing called the OPT model, which is like the optimum performance training model. And it's like a circuit of, I'll post it. It's like a circuit of total body exercises. We've done it a couple times where, you know, that circuit we do like back, it goes like back, shoulders, biceps, triceps, legs, abs, repeat type of thing or something like that. So, it's a great circuit to start and get you going again. And then, you know, it's not that you're not going to be making the best results because you're not doing your old routine. It's that you're getting the best results from doing the lowest amount of work and then saving that really hard volume to give you that great stimulus when it's time for it. So you don't just like adapt to that right away. You kind of take your steps all the way there. And in the end, you might even get farther than if you were to just go right back into the hardcore stuff and be a lot more comfortable. You're going to be really, really sore if you go into that 3 times a week right away and your body's going to have a really hard time recovering with it. So hopefully that makes sense. But my whole point is, if you haven't done much, you should ease into it, not because you're being lazy, but because it actually might be better for you in terms of long-term results than if you were to just go super hardcore. Because in terms of your adaptions that you need to run into, it's going to take a lot. It's going to be a longer path of where you're getting a stimulus created from your workouts if you take your time getting there versus one big slap in the face and then your body adapts right back to where it was. So that's my take on it.
Oh,
that was a mouthful, huh? Hopefully they followed.
Yes. Adam is always dropping the knowledge, always giving us some good workout ideas, which I think is awesome. I do tune into your IGTV videos and your YouTube. And for all those out there, I want to put it out there. You have some awesome, like, do it at home workouts, like, posted. So thank you for that. And even the stretching one was awesome, too, which is a great idea, guys. Now that we're home and, you know, we have a lot of time on our hands, we're going at stretching. That is a great idea. I think a lot of us kind of neglect that throughout the year. You know, I definitely neglect that. People think I'm so flexible. I'm really kind of not. I mean, maybe a little more than average, but for some areas, I'm not flexible at all. So it's kind of like, got to take this time while I'm watching TV. I can stretch, get nice and loose. Things are off balance. This is a great way to help fix that and correct that. And also another thing like we can do here, I think at home as well, it's a little off topic, but unilateral training is great for indoors because you're using one arm or one leg. Like let's say you're doing something like pistol squats or something like that. You know, when we're just training with both legs at a time, all the time throughout the year, sometimes can get a little off balance. Like our right leg can get a little stronger, our left leg can get a little weaker. You might not notice that at first, but then, you know, all of a sudden you have an injury or just a visible off-balanced muscle group. So it's kind of like take this time to kind of like realign yourself. So I think that's great. And I say thank you, Adam, for posting all those helpful videos. Those are awesome.
Yeah, I think we're trying to like put more stuff out with the other coaches now too. And so people, you know, and everyone has like their own skill set. So like the guy you saw, Kyle, he's like a physical therapist assistant, has a degree in physical therapy. And then the guy Gabe the other day, he's pre-med, he's going to med school to be an endocrinologist. And so like, yeah, we're going to try to put out more like helpful stuff, you know, and everyone's like getting behind it. So it's kind of cool. So yeah, hopefully, did you try that stretch?
I did.
Did you? Is it hard? Was it hard for you?
A little bit. I mean, it's funny because that particular stretch, you know how I just mentioned, I'm flexible in some areas, but some areas I'm not flexible in that area.
Oh yeah. I think everyone thinks you're really flexible because you're so agile, you know?
Yeah. So, I could do a split for like 1 second and then I'm like, oh, you know.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like 1 second, like just for an Instagram photo or something. And then I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
My hamstrings are like in some ways can be flexible, but like some ways not. But yeah.
So
are you flexible, Adam?
I am. You know what? I am not flexible. You know what's funny is that I used to be flexible when I was like, when I was in my best, like probably physical condition, like when in terms of like functional training, it was probably when I was playing hockey. Cause like you have to be like so movable, you know, but the more I got into like bodybuilding, the more like rigid and statue I got. Like I like feel like when I was like my biggest, I felt like I couldn't do anything. Like, but it's crazy. That's really just comes down to stretching. Cause you can look at like guys like Breon, he could do the splits. Rich Piana used to be able to do the splits. Like, it's crazy. You know, like, these big guys were really flexible. Dexter Jackson could do the splits, I think. I think he's still doing. So, like, it's just...
Oh, things. Man. And they do... Wait, they do the middle splits, right?
Yeah.
That one, I can't even touch the floor on that. No. If I do a split, it's just, like, one leg in front of the other, and I can do it for, like, a second, and that's it. But I give them credit for doing those middle splits. Those ones hurt. I can't.
There's no excuse for it. It's not like if you get bigger, you get less flexible. It's just you just stretch less and you get tighter, and that's your fault, you know?
Which, so, while we're on the subject, Adam, because I always want to know the answer to this question, it's kind of, I guess, in a way, been disproven by these big bodybuilders that are flexible. But some might say, like, oh, the bigger you get, the less flexible you are. And in some ways, I've even heard as well, like, it decreases your strength. And like, if, for example, if you take a look at a professional, what are they called? Contortionists or whatever, they're usually pretty slender, like minimal muscle, both men and women, like the circus performers, minimal muscle. I'm like, is there a correlation or is there, what's the deal with that? And what's your take on that?
So stretching. So if you look at stretching and you look at like opening up the muscle fiber and keeping the fascia nice and loose, and that is going to help you actually build muscle. The looser your muscle is, the more blood flow it's going to get, the more nutrients it's going to get, you know? So that's why you look at like the grass.
And range of motion whenever you're lifting.
Totally. And there's even been some, like, there's this thing called ISS, which is intra-set stretching, which is shown to increase blood flow and help you with actually gaining more muscle too. So, I mean, there's like a lot of, the problem is there's so many studies that disprove other studies, but there has been some things shown that if you can actually increase blood flow and stretch intraset, that you can actually get more blood flow to muscle and actually build more muscle. But then there's also other studies that show that if you stretch, then you decrease while you're working out, that it decreases the neuromuscular ability of the muscle because it relaxes the muscle too much and you're not getting the same contractile rate, right? So there's always like, that's the problem is with this stuff, is there's always something, and then you could say it and then literally like someone else will post another study and it's like, oh, here's this. So, but in the end of things, when you think about it, it just makes sense that if you could increase blood flow in any capacity, increased mobility and range of motion in any capacity, is going to help you with building muscle. But the like the really small guys, the contortionists, I think that they're just doing that to their body so they can, it's easier to get around bones than it is to get around muscles, type of thing, right? So there's
even a natural selection thing, like the best contortionists can be extra flexible because they don't have anything like any muscle in their way to inhibit a certain stretch or whatever.
Yeah. Well, maybe, I don't know. We'll ask Breon if he can contortion. Breon, can
you? Well, maybe he's like super flexible with the split and he's practiced that, but something like, you know, over the shoulders or behind is super difficult because the muscle gets in the way. I think Breon's your muscle doesn't get in the way that much, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, Breon's gonna send us a picture like in a box, like, oh. He's like, I can do it, bro. That's so funny. So you got any more on this subject on getting in, Ashley?
Yes. I got another question for Adam. So I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes if you stretch a lot, you'll actually get sore the next day. Does that also have the same kind of benefits to perhaps getting sore after an intense training session? In the sense, like, your muscle, in order to rebuild, kind of has to do little micro tears, correct? Or a little damage, which, I mean, in a sense,
there's a big difference. So there's a big difference of, so when you work out and you get sore, there's a lot of different reasons for that soreness: lactic acid buildup, micro trauma, micro tears. You know, just the discomfort period of you maybe not working out before and just going through new motions and forced loads, right? So, but when you stretch, the only thing that would be happening from that wouldn't be like a lactic acid buildup or this like crazy like buildup. It would just be trauma. So it wouldn't be the same type of benefit in terms of building muscle. It's just if you're sore, it's going to be from micro trauma, you know, micro tears, something like that. Which there's nothing wrong. Your body is always breaking down and tearing to like these micro trauma, like muscle tissue breakdown and micro trauma. They're not exactly the same thing. But when you're talking about stretching, yeah, you're just pushing it to a point where you're getting like little small tears and your body just has to recover, just like you cut your skin and it's sore there now, that type of thing. So that, I mean, I've never dove into that thoroughly, but right when you see it, that's where I would go to with it. So,
because some massage therapists I've heard before will say that it is kind of like when you get a massage and you're sore the next day, or they do their thing, it can actually help you build muscle. And I didn't know if their claim was that maybe it did a little micro trauma or a little tears and then your body has to build it back up, or I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole correlation to that. But
break up the fascia, like if you break up the fascia with like doing like Graston work or real hard massages and you know, use like that, what's that thing, the scraping that you could use too? Absolutely, that can help you build muscle, but not directly from that. It'll help you build muscle because you're opening up the fascia and you're making it looser again, and you're helping with blood flow to the muscle. And with more blood flow comes more nutrients. With looser muscle comes more range of motion. So that's how you're going to build muscle. It's not direct because of that. Yeah, indirect.
Okay. And also, while we're kind of on the same subject, the topic of, you know, some people will say like, you don't necessarily have to be sore to make improvements and gain muscle, and vice versa, that just because you got sore the next day doesn't mean you made improvements and build your muscle. Can you clarify that for some people?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no benefit to like being sore. Like the only benefit to being sore,
I love being sore.
Yeah, is that. That's the benefit. You know, that's exactly it. It's you feel like you did something, right? So there's like a mental benefit and that's it. But in terms of like physiological benefit and growing muscle, muscle is grown through, you know, you taking it to a point it hasn't been before, through through protein synthesis being higher than it was before, through you creating a stimulus of some type of load. So it's like a mechanical load is how you're going to build muscle. So if you lifted 10 pounds 10 times, you kind of adapted to that 10 pounds 10 times. Now when you do 10 pounds 11 times, that new stimulus, that's going to create some adaption like needed to, so you can do that 10 pounds 11 times the next time. And then you do 10 pounds 11 times for, you know, a year, and then one day you go 10 pounds 12 times, and now again a new stimulus. So now your muscle needs to be bigger and stronger to be able to do that 12th rep. Or you could do 12 pounds 10 times, something like that. So the soreness of it is generally going to be from excessive lactic acid buildup, because you've got like crazy pumps in the gym, and it's just it needs to
crazy buffer that. Pumps, bro. Crazy pumps.
Through micro trauma, and you know, just the general, you know, you're lifting things that you're not supposed to be lifting, and you're getting some trauma from it, you know. So but you could still build muscle. You could even build muscle without even going to failure. You could build muscle with doing just a couple sets, like, so that you don't have to be sore. And some of these guys who have like really, really high thresholds for, like if you're drinking a ton of water and you have a bunch of vitamin C in your body and you're going hard, but you're not going super hard, you might not even be sore at all the next day, but you can still create a good stimulus. You know, the water consumption, your vitamin C that helps buffer lactic acid, maybe you're stretching too, like not too crazy, like after you work out, all that stuff is going to help with your overall soreness. So if you're not sore, not necessarily a bad thing, as long as you're working hard and you're working like in a way where it's to some capacity as good as or greater than you did before, you're going to create a stimulus for muscle growth. So yeah.
Okay. And also I just want to add a question for you as well. Sorry, this turned into the Ask Adam segment here. So I've experienced this a few times while training with you, only legs, but you've been there for it, where I got nauseated while lifting. Yeah. And I used to experience that in track a lot when I did 400 meter repeats. Oh man, that feeling of like jello legs and then you're gonna throw up. And I've had a few times with you where I felt like I was gonna throw up. I never actually did throw up. But I think you mentioned during that time taking vitamin C helps with the nausea as well. So is the nausea that one might get from, let's say, an intense leg day, also a result of like the lactic acid building up, and then it becomes kind of like toxic in a way, and your body is like saying like, we want to get rid of it, or what's the deal with that?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. So this is a little bit more of like a technical question. So this is basically like how you look at lactic acid buildup and how your body removes it and how it actually handles the process. So I think for like the listeners, this is actually like a really good thing for them to listen to, so they can understand what actually is happening and why it happens. So we have to go into this thing, which is basically like our energy cycle through exercise. And basically how it works is this: the body's primary mechanism for doing exercise is using carbohydrates. Okay. So whether you're eating carbohydrates or you're not eating carbohydrates, the body will still have them available through glucose. So your body can actually make carbohydrates from protein. This is going to get real advanced, so hopefully it doesn't go over some people's heads. Your body can actually make carbohydrates through your protein through this process called gluconeogenesis, where it can actually convert proteins to glucose, and then you can use that glucose as energy, and it's stored as glycogen. I don't know why it's called glycogen when it's stored and glucose when it's not, but that's what it is. So probably some more technical, there's probably smarter people out there than me that can tell you that part of it, but I feel like we don't need to know that much more to the bodies, but that's just a whole other thing. All right, so the body, so you're doing a set, you need energy to do that set. Your body will use carbohydrates, okay, by way of glucose, by way of stored glycogen in the muscle or in the liver, and it'll go through this process called anaerobic glycolysis, where it's basically taking it and converting that into, well, really basically using it for energy. When it takes that glucose and converts it to energy, the byproduct of that, or the process of that, it'll end up using pyruvate. Okay, everyone's heard of pyruvate. Now, the pyruvate, when your body takes in the glucose and the glycogen and converts it to pyruvate, it'll then convert to lactic acid or build up lactic acid. I forget that exact process. But the problem with that is that when you're going from pyruvate to lactic acid, it actually produces hydrogen ions. Okay, so it's not actually technically the lactic acid. That's just like the easy way about not explaining this whole process, because it's really unnecessary for people to know all this. But it's basically the hydrogen ions, as they build up in your system. Let's go a step farther. When you're actually going into recovery, so that's the way you're going to get rid of this lactic acid buildup, and then you're going to get rid of this hydrogen ion buildup, right? The hydrogen ion is where you're feeling that discomfort. It's not the actual lactic acid. And actually, what's funny is that lactic acid isn't actually an acid. It's like lactate. There's like a proton not attached to it, and that's why the lactic acid isn't an actual acid. This is way more than people need to know, but just know that the hydrogen ion is the reason that you're feeling that soreness. Now, let's go a step further. In order to get rid of those hydrogen ions, and your body just needs to take some time. So you just need to recover. So that's where you go into your recovery. You just take some time, the burn goes away, the hydrogen ions are done, and the body will basically go back into being ready to do another set again. So if you are working really, really hard and you are not recovering and not letting your body go through that recovery, and just working, short rest periods. And in our scenario, I'm basically harping at you to get back under that leg press again or whatever. And you know, obviously big muscle groups are going to produce more hydrogen ions. And then if you're not fully recovered and that's still built up and it gets up and up and up and up, that is one of the reason that causes some pretty serious nausea. And it can, you know, I don't know if that's the direct reason why people throw up, but that's the reason that you start getting the nausea for sure. So there you go. Very long and unnecessary explanation of the basically process of how we process energy throughout a set and the true reason why you're feeling that soreness. So in a simple way, like a lot of trainers will be like, oh, it's just lactic acid buildup, which I say that too, but it's just so everyone understands it on a more easier like basis. But really it's like that process, and you're not letting your body fully go through and get rid of that, get rid of it and clean your system out, essentially, if you want to call it that, to be ready for another set. So there you go.
Wait to have that feeling again someday. Yeah, hopefully someday soon.
Yeah, we're planning on this episode's like a week early, but we're planning on actually hopefully coming down in May at some point. God willing, we'll see what happens when these doors open.
Yes, stay tuned. I guess we're taking this day by day and just hoping for the best and staying optimistic. And in the meantime, trying to do all we can, you know? But let's go back to the initial subject of getting back into that gym. So we kind of talked about easing into things, and stretching as well. Stretching is a great way to kind of get a little head start for, you know, getting those muscles nice and ready and preventing injuries and such of that nature. What other suggestions would you give to people that, you know, maybe are preparing to hopefully get into the gym soon, other than what we just mentioned?
You know what I'm having, so if you're still, so by the time we release this, a lot of the states, like even Ashley's state, are still probably gonna be closed for a little while. Like Colorado's opening in 9 days. From when this is dropped, it's gonna be like 3 days. So so it's pretty cool. But if you're in one of those states where it's gonna be a while, which could be, you know, I think California's gonna be a while. It looks like Florida's gonna be a while.
New York.
Yeah, so Massachusetts. Yeah, there's a few. I wonder what New York's gonna do. So with that, like if you're still at home, what I'm having a lot of my athletes do is abs, like a lot of abs. So there's this thing where we call 20-minute abs, right? And it's like, I do it for men's physique guys. Like you would never do it, Ashley, because your abs are too crispy. But men's physique guys, you can't get your abs too crispy. You know, you could do that all day. And if you're one of the bikini athletes, when you're really lean, you don't have like a six pack of any capacity. Like it's just a flat stomach. And there's a lot of them out there. You want to have a little bit of definition in your abs, not a lot in bikini, but a little bit, just a little bit of like the six pack shape, right? So you don't want just a flat stomach. You want to have something there. So if you're one of those bikini athletes right now, since you can't do anything, but you can do crunchies, a great way of doing it. Or if you're a guy that's doing men's physique, you can get your abs crispy as you want, is this thing called 20 minute abs. I'm having a lot of people do it. It keeps their activity high. And what it is they wake up, you start doing any ab exercise, you do 25, 30 reps, whatever it is to like, kind of like get to that, close to that failure point. And then you rest for 30 seconds and then you do another set for 20, 30 reps. You end up doing like one set a minute. So it's basically like 20 sets, right? And so it's a great way to like get extra activity level in and then like say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna focus on my abs for the rest of this month. It's been pretty fun. People are having fun with it. And really it's just a way to get people's activity level up, because a lot of people are just stuck inside. So at least that gets extra calories burned and extra things. So that's a fun one that I'm having people do. Then the rest of you who maybe you have abs that are crazy already and you don't want to do that, and you shouldn't do that if you're a bikini girl and you have crazy abs already. I just have people like look back at their health app in their phone and look at how many steps they were taking, and however many steps they were taking, I just try to match that. It's like, hey, do whatever you got to do to match those steps that you used to get and just walk around, you know, do whatever, do a jog, walk around. So that's kind of how I'm having people at least manage their their metabolic rate and keeping their neat up, I guess I should say. Yeah. So
they're neat. You said
they're neat. Yes.
Yes. The neat. My favorite word that you taught me, neat. So that's just to reiterate for somebody that might not have listened to the past few episodes, neat is kind of like, from what I understand, the simple definition is like the calories you burn just doing whatever you do throughout the day, whether that means working, you're a server, obviously, probably you're not doing that right now, maybe you are, I don't know, but you know, any physical activity you do throughout the day. And if someone has bad NEAT, that means they're basically very sedentary. Maybe they're on the couch all day or in the office chair, whatever it may be. So is that a correct kind of simple definition?
You pretty much got it. Yeah. Anytime you're moving, you're burning extra calories. And so that's what it is. And so in our normal day, especially the people who are like listening to this podcast, in our normal day, we used to really move around a lot, you know, like,
yeah.
When I was a trainer, man, I started tracking my steps when I was like a personal trainer, like on my feet, like 10, 12 hours a day. I'd be getting somewhere between that like 12,000 step marker. And it was like, now it's like, you know, now that I do mostly like computer stuff and programming, it's a lot less. So I have to like make up for it in other ways to try to, or else I used to go to literally eat like whatever I wanted, you know? And that's the thing I think people think about too, because now, yeah, when I was like training, I was in my, you know, like that much, I was in my 20s and now I'm in my 30s. And I think people would be like, oh, as soon as I got to my 30s, it was really hard for me. And I'm like, no, I know the reality is I was moving a lot more in my 20s than I am in my 30s. And that's why I think a lot of people think that when they get older, they gain, like it's harder for them to keep body fat off.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is you were probably moving way more when you're in your 20s than when you're in your late 30s, you know? So that's the only, like, there's no physiological reason why you would burn less calories when you're older than when you're younger. There's no hormonal thing. There's no physiological thing. There's nothing been proven that age correlation with gaining body fat. It's just that as you get older, you tend to live more sedentary lives. Unless you do something about it, you're just going to gain weight. So for me as a perfect example, you know, I moved a lot more when I was on my feet training all day long. And now that I'm mostly programming and stuff, you know, I have to eat less food because I'm doing less NEAT, you know? And so little things, NEAT. So NEAT, just so you guys know, it stands for non-exercise activity induced thermogenesis. I don't know why they decided to get rid of the I in there, but they did. so NEAT. So basically anything you do burns calories. So even like vacuuming the floors and washing the countertops or whatever, you know? So is it washing? I don't think it's washing the
countertops. That's what I do, or wipe down.
Wipe it. Okay. I don't clean my countertops. You can tell. I'm like, yeah, you should wipe the car and wash the countertops. that's funny. So yeah, anything that you do, so try to make up for your NEAT however you can. Even if you're one of the people who can't like even go outside. I actually have clients that aren't even allowed to go outside in like different countries. Yeah, they're like stuck. Some of them are just like jumping rope and like just walking around the house and stuff. It's kind of crazy. So it's a weird time we're living. So
you know something, Adam, that is honestly one of the best lessons you've ever taught me, is the NEAT. Like, you know, I think when I was first starting to prep with you, before I knew of this term or even thought about it, I would like kill my cardio for half an hour. And then I'd be so tired after that. I would just like sit at home all day. Just like, all right, now that's done. Now I got all this time just to, and then you brought it up to me once, like, well, are you like, you explained what the NEAT was, and like, are you just sitting around the rest of the day, or are you being active throughout the day? Even just like, you know, walking around or whatever it may be. And I was like, oh, I think I just sit around. And it's like, you know, even though you might have killed your cardio and got a good workout, you know, that can often be counteracted if you're just going to sit still the rest of the day, when maybe you could have even just been better off just being more active throughout the day. But
they actually showed that. You're so right. That's such a smart, like, analysis that you came up with, because that's actually a real thing. It's so cool that you came up with that. I didn't even think about that until I saw it on paper. And it was funny, they were looking at total calories burned in different groups, right? One group did an hour of cardio a day, low calories, killed themselves in prep. And they realized that this group, though they were doing an hour of cardio a day, was actually burning less calories than when they were just normally moving around when they had energy. Because all they did, wake up, go to the gym, sit on the couch like after they're done. They just wanted to sleep. They didn't get up. They're like, they would like make less trips to the bathroom, like make less trips to doing chores around the house. Their laundry would pile up. Like, they were so exhausted that all these little things added up, and then their total calories burned was less than, even with doing an hour of cardio, was less than their normal workout plus 20 minutes of cardio plus their daily activity, right? So you can totally counter that. And I think that a lot of the people who are doing that, like exhausting themselves throughout prep, like they need, hopefully they listen to this and like, yeah, I do move a lot less. And you would probably need to do a lot less cardio if you just stayed regularly active and then did your cardio on top of it. So if you did your regular activity, but then did 20 minutes of cardio versus an hour, but you still had energy to do everything you wanted to do, you'd be a lot more likable to be around than just being a slug. but also like, you probably would get a lot more benefit out of it too. This is really cool. I got to see that again, because I saw it somewhere one time and I thought it was so interesting. So I got to find that one again. That was a cool one. So
yeah, ever since I learned about this, I'm like super aware of like, did I sit down too much? And in fact, like nowadays, maybe it's just out of habit or just because in the back of my mind, I know now it's like, I actually hate sitting still. Like I really do. So like, I even like find myself watching TV, like standing up sometimes. I'm just like, I don't know why. I think that has something to do with it. I'm just, or maybe I just notice it now because we're inside that like, yeah, I like watch TV standing up sometimes.
Yeah,
and you know, something too, like, you mentioned the laundry thing. I was just like, I giggled a little bit when you said that because my quarantine challenge is see how long I can go without doing laundry. I only washed towels so far, but here's why. You know how they say like, if you didn't wear something in 6 months, you probably won't wear it. I have a lot of clothes and I'm just curious what I haven't been wearing. I'm curious what I forgot about. I'm curious, like, what's my last choice? Cause I'll end up donating that like when I can, but it's a good way to clean out my dresser and rearrange things that are of importance to me and which ones aren't. So that's my quarantine challenge.
That's cool. I tried doing that too, but I've been okay at it. So like I have so many shirts and so many that now when I buy one, the only way I'll buy one is if I throw one to, well, not throw it away, I put it in a bag and I give it to Goodwill. But it has to go into the Goodwill bag. So I have to like a shirt more than every other shirt that I have. And I have to think about, okay, what shirt's gonna get kicked out if I get this new shirt? Cause I have too many, you know? So I'm doing that in a different way, but it doesn't always work out. I always end up with more. So, cause then what I do is I go regular shirt. Okay, this is a cool shirt. It's a wear shirt. Then it goes to like a nighttime shirt. And so like after shower, nighttime shirt. And then I'm like, oh, well, this one's still nice enough. It could be a nighttime.
Yeah. I think, you know, what's funny too is the fitness people, like, I don't know about you, but when I'm in my regular routine of things, like I feel like I changed into 3 outfits throughout the day, my cardio outfit, my daytime outfit and my pajamas. Like, it's like, I need somebody because once you get sweaty and stuff, you can't wear that one. And depending on the pajamas, sometimes I wear pajamas to the gym, but I mean, these like pajamas like these, I can't wear in the gym.
Yeah, this is, that prep life laundry is deep, man.
That prep life laundry.
You know what's weird? I have this weird thing too, where if I'm wearing like a Team Elite Physique shirt, cause I always wear, like everyone here has to wear a Team Elite Physique shirt at the office. But I don't get, it's funny, when I leave here and go to the gym, I don't want to wear the Team Elite Physique shirt like at the gym because it's too obvious and people like come say hi and stuff too much. I can usually get as good a workout. But also I just feel like I'm working if I'm wearing it too. There's this weird mental connection with it. And so like I change that. And so I always end up with like twice as many shirts. And then I'll be home and then Anya will be like, why do you always wear an extra shirt? Why do you just work out in that? Because it's double the laundry every day. So pretty funny. This whole shirt thing. I don't know. I guess I throw that. So anyway, I guess with that, this is funny because we go in so many directions. We're like squirrels. for the audience who's watching this on YouTube, can you show them the back of your shirt, the back of your sweater?
Oh, I cut that off, Adam.
You did?
But right here was the little bunny or the panda tail.
Oh, for you guys listening, she's got a panda face shirt and it had a panda tail, like a poofy panda tail on the butt. It was so cute.
You know why? It's because like I think it was like Hugo or something. Somebody mentioned to me, what's on the back of that? Like as if it wasn't supposed to be there. And I'm like, what do you mean? That's the tail of this. It was like drawing too much attention. And then also when I sat in the chair, I would feel it. I don't know. But I didn't throw that away. I was like, I could use this for like makeup or something, like a puff. I don't know.
Ashley, you're really bad at that.
I kept the tail of this.
Ashley, you're really bad at that. You gotta get better at that.
But like, you know, the setting powder, you can dip it in. And be like,
you're never going to use it. You're never going to use it.
I'll find something. I will auction it off.
All right. Okay,
I'll
guys.
Auction it off.
I guess with that, guys, and Ashley's hoarding issues, we're going to.
Speaking of auctioning off,
Well, you know what? I do have to, didn't your stuff get auctioned off?
Yeah, it did. I don't have the winner's names of it, but I will be announcing that shortly. I'm waiting on one more of the winners to be, I guess, well, Angels. Okay, backtrack a little bit. I auctioned off some of my bikinis for charity for the masks. The Angels is making masks for healthcare workers, and they might be offering them to the general public now. I'm not sure. So don't quote me on that. But anyway,
yeah, they're making
medical masks. And I thought it was so cool that they were donating some to the healthcare workers. So I said, you know what? How about this? I would love to help you more. Let's auction off some of my bikinis. And yeah, that actually turned out to be a huge success. I'm thanking everyone who participated in the auction. I'm going to announce the winners shortly. And by the time this is released, they'll probably already be announced. But I already announced two of them. It's one of the suits. There was a slight miscommunication. She thought she was bidding on one suit, but she was actually bidding on another. But we're getting that part sorted out. So before that gets announced, I want to sort it. But yeah, thank you to everyone. And that was super helpful. And I'm really happy about it and feels good to help. So thanks.
Well, cool. Yeah. And actually, and if you guys listened to the podcast, it was probably two podcasts ago. I was doing a thing where if you buy a mask from Angels, then I was going to give another mask, like pay for the other one, to send to the healthcare professionals. So they are doing it for the consumers too, for regular people. What happened was they actually are so overflowed with it that they couldn't even handle the volume. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So I know, nuts, right? So what they did was they did something different. We're doing something different. So that's what happened with that whole thing. They were trying to do it. They're like, we're here like 12 hours a day. We can't get enough masks done. Like there's too many we have to get done. It's crazy. So what we did was we did something different. Instead of doing it that way, because it was going to be like quite a few hundred extra masks for them, is now if you buy a mask on Angels and you donate a mask, so you buy one and donate, which there's a lower volume of that at, it's like, I don't know, it's like 20 something dollars, $22 or something like that. They're gonna send you your mask, but they're also gonna send you the Team Elite Physique glute band with it. Ooh. So yeah, so you get your mask, you get a glute band, and then you get to help someone else out that has in the healthcare field. So they're doing that, and that'll probably be started by the time this is released. So
I was curious too, where's the link or how to do this?
It's gonna be on the Angels website. But I'll okay. As soon as they get it, so I shipped out over 100 booty bands to them last week. And so they should, as soon as they get them, they're going to create the link, and it's going to be, health for the healthcare. It's kind of cool. They're going to be blue masks with red outline. It's going to be kind of cool. So that'll be done next week. And there's one more thing that we did. And I posted it on my Instagram, and I got to post it on this too. This is where it started. The trip to USA's. So there's supposed to be a trip to USA's that I'm giving out for anyone who helped someone out from January to March. So basically the contest was you see someone who's new to the gym or whatever, or you see someone who needs help with their fitness in some capacity, you take them under your wing, and then you tell me the story, you give me their name, we'll send you to USA's. What I need from those people who sent in their people that they helped, I just need to get your info now, and then your pictures, because we're 12 weeks out from USA's. Obviously, this needs to go to someone who's like ready to do USA's. It doesn't make sense to be like, oh, here's a trip to Vegas to compete in a show that you're not ready for. And that's changed for quite a bit of people at this point. So send that in to me. Send your pictures in, adam@teamelitephysique.com, for the people who did participate in that. And we'll do another one of these too. Hopefully everything gets going again. And I think we're going to do one for nationals. I think we'll do something like that for nationals in Miami. So we'll announce that when the time's 16 weeks out or so. There you
Dang,
go.
Dang, that's so awesome, Adam. I love that you come up with the best ideas for this. And I think it's cool that people get to kind of share their story of how they helped. And it's extra motivation too. So I hope I win, but
I think you have a good chance of winning your pro card at USA's, Ashley.
How awesome would that be?
Anyway, it got smoked.
probably. Yeah, I think that's super cool, and it is like extra motivation, you know what I mean? I remember, you know, little things like that always used to, as an amateur, you know, times can be hard for anyone, but you know, sometimes that's like the least of your priorities. So having something like this is like extra motivation, incentive to like kill it at the gym and help people. So that's pretty cool, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we put out a, you know, usually what's cool is that we'll do it at like at shows sometimes too, when like a fan vote and whoever gets to go to USA's or go to a national show. And we had a guy here who actually won his pro card because of it. And he wasn't going to go to nationals unless he won that, you know, cause it was like, he worked at a supplement store and whatever. And so it was like, it was really cool to see it actually worked, you know, it was pretty cool. So anyway, cool. So hopefully it happens again. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. We will talk to you next time.
Toodles.